Our text which we consider this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew. We read chapter 26, selected verses. "And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, 'Whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him.' Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, 'Friend, why have you come?' Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, 'Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?' In that hour Jesus said to the multitudes, 'Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled.' Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." Lord, these are your words. They are your truth. Sanctify us by the truth. Amen. Kiss. What do you think of when I say the word kiss? Some of you maybe think of the classic rock band that's been rocking the free world for, 35 years now, I think? Some of you maybe think of the acronym for Keep It Simple, Stupid. But most of us probably think of the sign of affection that we give to our spouse, our boyfriend, girlfriend, child, or just maybe a friend, to show that we care, to show that we appreciate them, to show that we like or love them. In some cultures, a kiss is just a simple greeting, but in all these cases, it is a friendly gesture. What do you think of when I say the word betrayal? Well, we might say that our car betrayed us when we're running late for class in the morning and it won't start. Or that our phone betrayed us when it dies in the middle of a very important phone call. But I think most of us think of personal betrayals, because those are the ones that are most significant. Maybe we confided in a friend some very personal information, and the next day it was all over school. Or maybe we went to a friend in a time of sore distress, needing comfort and support, and they ignored our feelings, blew us off, maybe even abandoned us. Maybe we've even been cheated on in a relationship. We trusted this person, and they turned around and stabbed us in the back. Betrayals can be one of the most hurting things in life. Pretty much the opposite of a kiss. A kiss is something you would give to someone who has been betrayed, to comfort them, to assure them that you would not betray them. And so how can these seemingly polar opposites ever be combined? Well, Judas found a way. And sadly, we found that same way. Let's talk about Judas first. He was one of Jesus' 12 closest friends. In the 3 years leading up to this text, he had walked and talked with Jesus on a very regular basis. And Jesus had shown him love in every way. He had been the best friend that Judas could ever want. And the most important of these ways is that he taught Judas the ways of truth, of life and salvation. And he told his disciples, including Judas, that he would give his life for them. And yet, right before this account, Jesus had sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. And we say, Judas, what are you thinking? You got to know better. This guy's your best friend. He's shown you nothing but love, and you're going to sell him out? Really? But are we any different? Jesus has blessed us, with life. And we were born lost sinners, and he redeemed that life for us and regave us life. And he gave us every earthly need we could ever want. You know, a roof over our heads, food on the table, family and friends. And yet, look at the reckless way we live with our lives. Look at the slander and gossip that we use our mouths for. Looks like betrayal to me. how often isn't it the exact same thing that Judas did, betrayal with a kiss? Judas approaches Jesus in Gethsemane. I'm your friend, gives him a sign of affection, a kiss. We say, I'm a friend of Jesus, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christ follower, friend of Christ. I go to a Christian college, so I think that gives me a little leeway to, you know, tell a few dirty jokes during the week, act funny in a sinful way here and there, because after all, I am a friend of Christ. I go to church almost every Sunday. I think that gives me a right to use the other 6 days to live in a little sinful fun, you know, have a little sinful fun with my days and nights, because in the grand scheme of things, I am a friend of Christ. I am a Christian. I'm a professor at a Christian college. And so if I have a few sinful vices, a few sinful ways, a few underhanded means of getting my work done, it's okay, because in the grand scheme of things, I am a friend of Christ. But we know how God expects us to ask. And in fact, those of us that proclaim ourselves to be Christians and Christian called workers are most guilty of betrayal, because we know exactly what Jesus asked of his children and disciples. And we turn around and we live in direct disobedience anyway. Betrayal with a kiss. And so what did Jesus do about Judas' betrayal and our betrayals? Well, there's plenty of things he could have done. He could have, as the text says, called down 12 legions of angels to defend him. He could have avoided choosing Judas as one of his disciples, could have avoided choosing us as his disciples, could have not given Judas the word of truth, every earthly blessing, could have done the same for us, and he would have every right to withhold any of this stuff from us. But that's not what he did. Knowing full well the traitors that we are and that we would betray him, he blessed us anyway. And he's loved us anyway. He allowed himself to be taken captive here to suffer and to die. He took all of our betrayal, all the guilt of our betrayals, on his shoulders and carried it up to Calvary. And there he cheated and betrayed death for us. And why? So that we could have all of the reassurances of a true kiss, so that we could know that we are loved, that we are cared for, that we are worth something, because Jesus died for us. And we appear perfect in God's eyes now. We have the sure hope of eternal life beyond the grave. And we know that here we have a new man. And so we have a fresh start every day. We don't have to betray God anymore. And why? Why and how could God give this much to us traitors who betrayed him? Why would he ever do that? Well, it's because God is love. John writes in his first epistle, "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." God sent his Son for us because he loves us, because he wanted to show us love, he wanted to teach us love, and he wanted us to know love. May we never follow Judas' example of following betrayal with despair. But instead, may we always live our lives in full assurance of the love that God has shown to us. Jesus giving himself as an atoning sacrifice for our sins and showing us the greatest love the world has ever known. And may we always show that selfless love to those around us. Amen. We rise for prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we confess that we have indeed betrayed you countless times. Thank you for showing us the greatest love the world has ever known in the gift of your Son. May he always be our hope, joy, and love. And may we always show his selfless love to the world. Amen. Thank you. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.